So today I'm going to be dealing with on what now? I'm going to be dealing with the lie we have believed. The lies we believe. And I want to take extra time here today because I think it's important that the ones that showed up for service today, they get something they can go home with. More than just a song and a dance, you're going to leave with something that will help you live. Nothing wrong with song and dance, but there's a time for song and there's a time then you have to get serious with the Word. Have you ever heard someone tell a lie so much, your friends, maybe your family, they tell a lie so much they begin to believe it? I know people like that. They've told it so much they believe what they're saying. So much or so they can pass a lie detector test because they believe it. But I want to make some statements today, and you need to mark it down. We, especially the church, have lived too long by lies that sounded true. Lies that have sounded true. And I believe it's time to do something about it. It's time to break the chains of deception. You see all those chains? Absolutely. Because deception will hold you in bondage. It'll incarcerate you. It'll imprison you. It's time to walk from deception, my dear friends, into freedom. Say deception to freedom. But as long as we live and believe the lie, we'll never be there. Now I want you to remember this. A lie is just that. It's an untruth. A lie is an untruth unless you believe it. Now watch this. A lie is an untruth unless you believe it, and then you give it validity, and then it becomes a part of your story. Now I can't hammer that down enough, because there's people sitting here right now that is living a lie. You say, well, Bishop, you shouldn't say that. You should preach in such a way that it'll bring people into the house. That's the problem. We've been bringing people into the house but not giving them truth. And so what we're doing, we're making them worse off than they ever were. Amen. Truth is not an easy thing. Lies are easy. I mean, I could stand up here and tell you, everybody here today, if you'll give properly into the house of the Lord, He's going to make you a millionaire. And people love that and will applaud you and jump up and down. But once I say you're disobedient and you're not doing what God's asked you to do, you say, well, I'll find me another church. Am I right or wrong? You know I'm telling you the truth. But once you start to believe it, it becomes a part of your story. But I want to remind you of some scriptures that you need to mark down because I'll be ministering along these lines. John 8:32 says, then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Not the lie will set you free. Not deception will set you free. Not what your friends say will set you free. The truth will set you free. Truth is hard. Truth is difficult. But truth is necessary if you're going to grow. Y'all realize the Holy Spirit's here today? He really is. Today's the day you need to reach out for healing and say, I'm healed. You need to say, I'm blessed. You say, why? Because I'm blessed. I'm in the presence of God. So he says, you'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. Free from what? Deception. And we've believed it so much that we've set a system around it. And we've built a theology around it. So much so that people are teaching it and preaching it and we're living it and we're not getting better off, we're getting worse off. Now I need a few of you in here to speak back to me today and get a little happy. If y'all wanted truth today, you're going to get it. Then he says in the next verse, one I've quoted many, 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 many times, you ought to know it by heart. Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What do you mean by that? Don't be led by the world's way of thinking. Don't be led by what the world says and what the world's doing. Don't be led by the world's way of thinking, but be transformed into a life that is led by the Spirit. That's what it means. You see, but lies are rarely obvious. If they were, you'd catch on to it. And the enemy of our soul is a master. He knows exactly what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. He's a master at telling, like some of you sitting here, let's make it personal. Like some of you sitting here, you're a master at telling half-truths, which is really whole lies. Either you're doing it or you're not doing it. Either you're making it or you're not making it. Either you're faking it or you're really doing it. Don't walk around telling everybody how great you are when you know you're falling apart. Because God already knows where you're falling apart at. But lies, we lie to ourselves, we lie to others. The system lies to us. And I'm going to tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ, and I'm talking about the organization and what we've seen, has missed the mark. Now mark that down, because that's not going to be popular, and I probably won't be asked to go speak many places because of this. But the church has missed the mark. We've majored on minors and minored on majors, and what we thought God wanted, it's not what He wanted at all. Now that's not the popular part, but that's what God is pressing me to say. That's where He's taking me. He's letting me to see, He's allowing me to see the fragmentation in the Church of Jesus Christ. And I hate to even use the Church of Jesus Christ. It's just an organization of religion. Ooh, God. It's an organization of religion, religiosity, charismata. But it is not what Jesus wanted. Now, some of you spiritual people ought to be saying, ah, He's telling the truth today. But lies often wear those clothes of half-truths. Dressed up in experience. Experience. This is what I've experienced. It's dressed up in experience. It's dressed up in culture. It's dressed up even in religion. But just because, mark this one down, it's simple. Just because something sounds true doesn't mean that it's true. Like somebody said one time, they accused somebody of something. They said, well, where there's smoke, there's fire. Not all the time. See, that's not really true, because I've seen smoke with no fire. Some of us have built our lives on lies we never questioned. We never question those lies. Do you ever remember hearing in school, to thine own self be true? I have a feeling many of us don't like that. We don't like to be true to ourselves. Like, things we should question. I'll never be good enough. Let me just go ahead on record. You'll never be good enough. But see, the enemy knows how to deal with that. He needs to know how to talk to you. He knows how to get into your head in the week and tell you what a fool you made of yourself. He knows exactly what he's doing and how to do it. And he'll make you feel stupid. And the thing is, you are a son of God. You've been blessed and anointed to do what he's asked you to do. He has no right to do that to you. I'm tired of it. You should be sick of it. You're not getting older. You're getting more strong. You're getting stronger. You're not getting weaker, you're getting more viable. He called you to be a worshiper and those that should praise him. And the lie has so deceived us until we don't even want to praise and worship God because we don't feel like we're good enough. But you understand, Bishop, that's just who I am. There's another lie. That's just who I am. No, he's made you to be something more. God have mercy. Has God made you to be something more? You better believe he has. If you're living beneath your privilege, it's your fault. It's not God's fault. God is trying to set you up to be a king and a priest, and we're settling for paupers. Did y'all want me to preach today, or do you want me to? You see, the problem is we don't want to hear these things because these things that I preach come right back at me. I'll never be good enough. It's just who I is. Just who I am. I'm sick of that. God helps others, but Not people like me. Have you heard people say that? Yeah, God will help Christian, but he won't help me. Or God will help Randy or Floyd or Brenda or Sue. But not me. God won't help people like me. What kind of lie is that? Here's another one. My past defines me. Your past does not define you. God has given you a future, and you're made for more. Quit believing the lie. The nation fails. You say, I believe if the nation fails, we're never going to make it. Well, I'm going to tell you, if God is in our nation, we will not fail. If God is truly in his church, we'll never fail. And the church goes beyond these walls, beyond this facility. Trust me on that. He's shown me that. He said, look quick, look beyond these walls, look beyond these doors, because there's a greater body of Christ that needs to hear the truth, and they're not hearing it. Has anybody ever felt convicted about these things? It ought to get you convicted. So my past defines me. You understand, Bishop, it's just too late for me to change. Boy, is that a lie. I've lived this way for 69 years now, and I'm too old to change. Well, if you're too old to change, you're dying. Here's the sad thing about all these statements I just made. These aren't just statements. They're stories we've told ourselves. And we've told them over and over. We've listened over and over. We keep beating ourselves up with it. And the narratives have shaped our identity. It shaped who we are, how we think, how we move, how we act and react to people. That's what's happening. It shaped our choices. It's even shaped our faith and or the lack of it. It shaped it. How many people are tired of that? I am. Now let me just say this. In all that I've said, hear me about Jesus. Jesus didn't come to make us better liars. More proficient liars. Well, I can lie and they'll believe me. Well, I'm going to tell you, that day has to cease. That day has to stop. Those people standing before you and around you that tell you that they're too good to do this and too good, they never do this, they never do that. You know what? They're lying to you. Because if they're human, they're messing up. You ought to feel good today because we're all in the same boat. But those narratives have shaped our identities so much we don't even know who we are anymore. We are what others have said and what the spirit in our head has told us. If I read the scripture correctly, Floyd, I think that I did. It said he came to set us free with truth. With truth, not lies and deception, but with truth. So I want to give you a real world figure. My wife sort of led me into some of this week. That if they had believed the lie, they would have failed. You see, sometimes we don't really identify until we hear about somebody we've heard about, somebody we know. Here's a man, Tyler Perry. Does anybody know Tyler Perry? He's a billionaire. Oh, wow. Billionaire filmmaker, playwright, and a studio owner. But before all that, say before that, he endured years of repeated failure. Creatively, financially, and emotionally. Let me give you some facts. He went through some failures. Well, it couldn't have been that bad. Oh, it was pretty bad. He wrote 12 plays that flopped before one even took for any traction. 12 plus. He lived in his car for months in Atlanta while trying to produce his first stage play. Audience didn't show up. I know how that feels. I see it every week. And I'm convinced it's because people do not want truth. So evidently you came today because you want the truth. Because the truth will heal you. Truth will set you free. Truth will deliver you. God have mercy, I feel good today. So audiences didn't even show up. Investors turned him down. Critics started to mock him. He even questioned God. That's where it comes into play here. He even questioned God. He doubted himself and nearly gave up more than once. But he said, I kept getting up every time I failed. Not because I knew it would work, but because I believed I had to try again. He didn't believe the lie. He didn't believe the lie. He didn't believe the lie. So his breakthrough came in when? 1998. After nearly a decade of repeated rejections. Think about that. Rejection, 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 rejection. But his play finally took off. He kept the same formula, same identities. He even used Medea, kept her. But this time, the audience was ready. And that play launched a global reckoning, a global response. But it didn't start off that way. It reminds me of Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good and well-doing, the King James says. For all at the proper time when we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we just don't give up. You see, when you don't give up and refuse to believe the lie, you will be victorious. So you don't get weary in the process. People throw up their hands and they quit because of the process. Nobody, you know what, I came into church and nobody looked at me today. Good. Nobody shook my hand. I don't want you to shake my hand. I want Jesus to shake my hand. Amen. I'm just being honest. I love fellowship, but honestly, you could curse me and turn your back on me, but as long as Jesus says, as long as Jesus says, well done. Remember the old song, I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. That's all that matters to me. And I'm going to tell you, there's a group of people coming to Remnant Church that's going to want to be a friend with Jesus. But Bishop, I'm listening to what you're saying. What's happening? What's happened to me? What's going on in me? The lie we have believed has caused us to get comfortable. We've got comfortable in the lie. Has anybody else you know gotten comfortable in a lie? And they're living a lie and telling the lie? And a lie begets a lie. And when the lie begets a lie, it becomes even more lies. The enemy does not tempt us with blatant falsehoods. He didn't come out and just say something, you know, it's blatant. That's a falsehood and I know it. Hallelujah. He seduces us with believable fiction. It's believable. Give me an illustration, Bishop. Well, I will. I'll give you one. It's fact. In the garden, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and earth, in the garden, he didn't say to Adam and Eve, he did not say, God is a liar. That would have been blatant. He didn't say God is a liar. Read it for yourself. He didn't say God is a liar. He said, did God really say? So smart. Did God, he would have been a great attorney. Did God really say? He twisted the truth just enough where Adam and Eve walked in doubt and disobedience. Twisted truth becomes a, speak back to me, lie. Satan today, see, we don't want to talk about Satan. We don't talk about heaven or hell anymore because we don't believe in it. And I'm going to tell you there is a heaven and there is, in fact, a hell. There is coming a day of reckoning and it's coming. That day will come. But Satan hasn't changed his tactics not one bit. He hasn't changed anything. He plants a seed in your mind of distortion. He plants that seed of distortion because of your pain. In your pain, he plants a seed. And it starts to grow because you got pain. And most people that are in pain today, look at me, are there because of their own making. Let's just bring it down to level. I got plenty of time today. I started early. Well, I'm too fat, and I'm just mad. I'm fat. Well, I'm just using this. Well, if you're fat, there's a reason. Yeah, I got a bad thyroid. But let me just say this. You may have a bad thyroid, but it takes food in your mouth to make you to get fat. And I'm like the Bible. I've been fat and I've been skinny, but the righteous have never been forsaken. No. I mean, I understand what I'm saying. Well, I got a drug problem. Yeah, who started that? Who started that drug problem? Well, my wife forced me to take them pills. No, you made a choice. Amen. Well, she said it'd make me better. That's an untruth. It'd make me feel better. No, it makes you look stupid. You walk around in a stupor. I saw a guy one time. This is really funny. He came into a meeting, and he was drunk. And he tried to act like he was sober. It was hilarious. Like I wouldn't know it. I'm like, I walked right to him. I said, come here a second. This is the truth. I said, you've been drinking. I said, yes, you have. He said, I went to a Mexican restaurant feeling sorry. And I had some friends there that just kept pouring me some tequila. And he believed the lie that he looked all right. But who made that choice to guzzle? I'm making this plain today. Who made the choice? It was Ron Tyson's fault. No, it was that person's fault. If you're not prospering according to the word of God, then whose fault is it? Let's make it personal. It's your fault. I got the feeling, you know, the church is not, our church used to be packed out three times on Sunday. And I'm thinking it's my fault because you want to point the finger at the pastor. It's not my fault. The fault is found in society. Nobody cares anymore. I had a person tell me this week. I do know some people that don't go to church, by the way. And I do have some friends that are, they call themselves Christians, but they're really not. And so my wife made a decision that we'd have a little dinner with these folks. And they're talking about certain things. Talking about a television program, and the woman said to me across the table, she said, but you don't need to watch it because you preach the word. I'm thinking, if I don't need to watch it, why are you watching it? Well, it's funny. So what? So we're talking about Memorial Day weekend. A woman brought up in church. I'm not ashamed to say that. She's brought up in church. Good Baptist lady. And she said, reading the Bible. She said, I started in January reading the Bible. And I'm going to tell you this. Reading the Bible, just reading the Bible ain't going to do nothing for you. Now I got seven claps. But I'm telling you, it's more than reading the Bible. It's ingesting the word. And so we said, well, what you doing Sunday morning? She said, I'm making Jell-O shots. Jell-O shots? Because we're going to have a big Memorial Day party. I'm thinking I am too. But my shots are going to be different than yours. Boy, the hypocrisy. Wondering why the family don't go to church because they believe the lie that they didn't need it And now their sons don't go to church. And I'm going to tell you something. Pastor Mike sent me a clip of something I've been saying now for how many weeks, Mike? Over and over and over. Mike sent me a clip of another pastor God has said, here's the problem we have in church today. He said, men and women, parents, you need to have your children in church with you, sitting beside you, listening to the Word of God. He said, they understand more than you think they do. He said, they learn by watching you. So if they watch you make jello shots, they're going to make jello shots. If they watch you live a lie, they're going to live a lie. If they watch you treating people in an unfair way, they're going to treat people in an unfair way. So your pastor is really hitting on a mark here, and there are a few others out there that are starting to see it. We've messed up. Grossly messed up. But Satan twists the truth. Gives you little half-truths. Makes it look, it's a fiction. He develops and we start to believe it. He wraps it in emotion. Oh, wraps it in emotion so it feels true. And then he lets time turn it into a belief system. Oh my God. He lets time turn it into a belief system. We tell it so much, we sing about it so much, we praise it so much, until we build a system around it, and that system is incorrect. It's not right. Well, Bishop, I heard you. I'm listening to you. But I'm not lovable. Well, I looked at a scripture that says in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, here's a truth that you need to hear. I have loved you with an everlasting love. That's God. I've loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. And let me say this. God loves everybody on the planet Earth equally. It doesn't matter where you came from or the color of your skin. God loves everyone equally. The difference is some are elevated more because they have been more obedient. Some are less obedient. I won't preach that right now. But he says, Christian, I've loved you with an everlasting love. How long is everlasting? Forever. Nothing good can come from this, but I read in my scripture that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and call according to his purpose. All things. Nothing good can come from this. Well, you haven't seen what God can do with it yet. We have to stop. Everybody say stop. We have to stop giving comfort to lies that are costing us our freedom. We give comfort to it. You know, when somebody tells you a lie, instead of you agreeing with them, you just say, you know, that's not true. You'll snap them back into reality. Somebody told me, you know, like, I'm going to tell you how you can make $1 million. Have you made one yet? No, but I'm going to tell you how. You ain't made $1 million. Don't you even talk to me about $1 million. Don't even talk to me. I'm going to tell you how to walk in perfect health. Are you walking in perfect health? No, but you got to listen to me. There's always somebody that tells you they know it all, but they really don't. I thought this morning, I told my wife on the way there, I said, you know what? I've gotten closer to God in the last 2 weeks than I've ever been before, starting to get closer. And I said, no, I'm going to take it back. I'm entering into the door. And here's the truth about it. Anybody tells you they're totally in it, you look at them and say, no, you're not there yet. You haven't even got close to the door. I won't even listen to people say, I know who I am and I've got it all in control, me and God. At that moment, I say, you know what? I don't need to listen to you. Because really, we're all students. We're all in a learning process. One thing I've learned, we better quit believing the lie. Oh, I could get into that right now. We'll believe it. there's somebody coming into my life going to change my life. You know what? That's a half truth. Because here's the bad part about that. They could, really, it's an all truth. It's a half truth because usually when you say that, you think it's better. But there could be somebody coming into your life that makes your life a living hell. They're going to come into my life and change me. Yeah, well, let's look at that one. Come into your life and beat you every day. You say that would never happen. Oh, it does happen all the time. What you believe shapes who you become. You've heard me say that over and over again. So if I've learned anything about Romans 12:2, it's this. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Okay, you know the scripture. It teaches us that transformation doesn't come from trying harder. Let me say it again. Transformation doesn't come because you try harder. It comes from thinking differently. You got to think differently. Because when you think differently, you'll talk differently. When you talk differently, you'll walk differently. And when you walk differently, you'll start to act differently. And people start to notice there's something different about you. Because you're thinking differently. If you think you fail, you fail. If the mind is where transformation happens, if I read that scripture right, if the mind is where transformation happens, it's also where deception attacks. It'll start telling you all the bad you've done. I'm telling you, the last 2 weeks, it's amazing how often the enemy tells me of everything I've done wrong in my life. Things I hadn't even thought about in years. He started showing me stuff that happened when I was a teenager. I mean, on up. I mean, every person. I mean, every woman. Come on now, let's tell the truth. Everything that I did, he started boom, boom, boom. And I'm thinking, man, I'm not worthy of anything. Man, and I started getting lower and lower. And God said, son, my grace is sufficient. So you see, the enemy throws at you things that tells you how bad you are. And then God turns around and says, you are good because I am good. Because now you're a part of me. You see how he works? The enemy comes and gets right into your head. Had someone call me and say, Bishop, I'm looking for prosperity, and they didn't write, they wrote me. I'm looking for prosperity, and I just don't know. You know, I've done everything I know to do. I've tithing and giving, and still I'm not prosperous. If that's why you're giving, you'll never be prosperous. I'm giving y'all some truths today. Y'all need to just take it down and say, you know what, the old boy's still got it. We thought he was finished. We thought he was through. No, I'm telling you, I got the truth. God blesses the heart. He rewards the heart. He rewards the intent. So, if transformation happens in the mind, where do you think the enemy's going to attack you? Right in your mind. So that's why the battle is not just about what we do. It's not what I've done this week or what I'm going to do. It's not about what we do. It's about what we believe. What do you believe? Hear this. You will live out the narrative you believe is true. You'll live it out. You'll live it out. Now, here's a man that refused the narrative. Y'all tired yet? You wore out with me? I cut 3 songs out, so y'all shouldn't be. Here's a man that refused the narrative, and some of you will know him because he was a big name back 60s, 70s, 80s, somewhere in the 50s. Big name, Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts, come on now. He ministered from 1947 till his death in 2009. I knew him. I've been with him. sat with him, talked to him. But I started looking at these points. There were people that said of Oral Roberts, "You will never be a preacher. In fact, he can't even talk without stuttering." Couldn't even talk without stuttering. He'll never make it. The lie. Oral Roberts will never amount to much because his family's so poor. They don't have no prestige. His healing ministry is what, and that's what got him kicked off. He had a phenomenal healing ministry. Huge. His healing ministry will last only 2 months. We give him 2 months because nobody's doing what he's doing in ministry. So it won't last. And then the thing he came up with that now everybody else is preaching, the concept of seed faith. Your Rick Thomas's, your James Payne, your Avanzini. It's all because of Oral Roberts. He came up with seed faith, the concept of seed faith. They said, that concept of seed faith is just a gimmick. It won't work. And Oral Roberts University will never be built because Oral Roberts does not know how to build a university. Many people kept saying that Oral Roberts will never make it. But here's what Oral Roberts said. This is what he said. And he looks at the scripture, Isaiah 59, verse 9. He says that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So he said, Oral said, "So I decided to believe God's thoughts about me." I wanted to believe what God was thinking about me and to go for something higher. Something higher than what others had planned for me, have said about me. And he said the results have been miraculous. So, just to complete this, let me give you a few of the accomplishments. Just two. Oral Roberts University was founded in 1963 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. He built it. You say, "How do you know, Bishop?" You don't know. Yeah, I've been there, stood there. I've been with him there. He built a powerful university that people are coming from all over the world to be at. He built what they call the City of Faith Medical and Research Center. I've been in that hospital. Huge. People are researching things because he wanted to bring medicine and science and God together. So in summary about Mr. Oral Roberts that refused to believe a lie, he built a global ministry, a Christian university, a medical research center, and a media empire. A media empire, leaving a lasting impact on the world. The Pentecostal world and the charismatic Christianity. He did it. But it all started out with, he'll never get it done. You want another one? Here's a little lady called Beth Moore. Who is Beth Moore? She's a respected Bible teacher, an author, and founder of Living Proof Ministries. She's actually known for her deep biblical teachings, okay? Especially to women. But you think it all went smooth, but let's look at some of her failures. Childhood sexual abuse left her emotionally shattered. As a young woman, she struggled with insecurity, with fear of rejection, and approval addiction. I think you have that, Steve. Approval addiction is a real thing. You want people to approve of you. That's dangerous. So she had insecurity. She had this rejection. She had approval addiction. And she still was in ministry. Now, I've got to submit to you today, there are people standing behind the Holy Lector today that are going through a lot of problems. Going a lot of difficult things and are struggling, fighting their own demons. But I'm going to say, enough is enough. We need to quit believing the lie because it's a damn lie. And it's killing mankind. It's destroying young families. Never, nothing's never enough. There's got to be more. But God created you for more. This young lady, Beth Moore, faced criticism. Yes, she did. She faced betrayal from inside the church. Not in the world, inside the church. When she began speaking boldly about her past, which most people don't want to hear, but it's really something that needs to be shared from the pulpit about what we've gone through, what I've gone through, because I've gone through a lot too. When she started speaking about her past and standing for truth, she lost ministry, partnerships, book deals, and even public support from Christian leaders she once admired. Follow this. Simply because, Floyd, she obeyed God. When God said, I want you to speak up, she lost all those things. She said, I nearly quit multiple times, thinking the cost is too high. It's too much. But then she said, I know what it's like to quit. I know what it's like to believe you've ruined your chances with God. Has anybody ever felt that way before? I've ruined my chance with God. But I also know what it's like to watch Him rebuild a life. Some of you are in the rebuilding process. Don't give up in the process. What was her breakthrough? Beth didn't hide her wounds. She witnessed through them. She turned her pain, this is killer, she turned her pain into purpose. She's teaching other women how to survive what some of them have gone through. Helping women from all different kinds of backgrounds. I'd say she was successful. How about you? So it reminds me of Micah, the 7th chapter, verse 8. Do not gloat over me, my enemy. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Though I have fallen, I will rise. Everybody say, I will rise. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. So listen to me today. If you believe you're a failure, you will sabotage your success. If you believe you're alone, you will isolate even when people love you. You'll isolate yourself. And you did it to yourself. If you believe God is distant, you'll never approach Him confidently. But, everybody say but. If you renew your mind with truth, you'll walk with confidence, not condemnation. You'll walk love boldly because you know you're loved. You'll hope again. You'll live again because you know God isn't finished with you. What lies have shaped your story until now, church? It's time to name them. Identify them and eradicate them. Because truth can't set you free. Watch this. Truth cannot set you free until it replaces the lie you've believed. It has to be replaced. Now, truth is not just a concept. Well, it's just a concept, truth, concept. No, truth is a person. What do you mean? John 8:32 says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free, right? But John 14:6 says, Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Truth is a person. His name is Jesus. Am I preaching it? So truth is not just a fact, it's a friend, because I have a friend in Jesus. Jesus doesn't just give you truth, He is truth. And when you allow Him to speak over the lie, You let him speak over the lie. He doesn't just refute it. Watch. He doesn't just refute it. He replaces it with a better word. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the ultimate truth that undoes every lie. The lie says you're too far gone. I'm too far gone, but Jesus says, come home. The lie says you'll never change. Jesus says, I'll make all things new. The lie says you're unloved, and Jesus points to the cross. God have mercy. So what should I do? You let the voice of Jesus drown out the shame, the fear, the insecurity, and the guilt. You let his voice drown all those things out. In closing, what will the truth do for me? The truth will rewrite your story. The truth will rewrite your story. The truth will rewrite your story. Some of y'all need a rewrite. You need another editor. You need another set of eyes. You don't have to live like that anymore. The lies that many of us have followed for years, we don't need to do that anymore. The things that have shaped our habits, our thoughts, our relationships, our identity, we don't need to do those anymore. It doesn't have to shape our future. Let truth rewrite the narrative and free your future. Let truth rewrite the narrative and free your future.